Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
You know, that's right. You know what happens? When we get ready to start these programs, yes. We start talking about something and crack ourselves up.
We do.
And then the program begins.
Right. So.
And so we lift.
You see, we are three of the best. We have three incredibly close friends.
Well, that's true.
I mean,
we are incredibly funny.
We are. We don't even know. One of us is.
We think we're hilarious. Yeah.
Hey, Dan Hurst over here. Mark Halleck here. Mark Clifton right here. And we're in Charles Spurgeon's podcast studio in Kansas City.
And it's Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. And today we're talking about probably, this is a topic that, in fact, Halleck said, boy, I bet you guys have some stories about this. And yeah, we do.
Yeah, we grew up in church. Our dads were pastors.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about deacons.
Yep.
Deaconship. And probably... I you know, when I read the Bible and I read about the birth of deacons and the deacon ministry and everything, I often find myself just thinking, wow, genius. Absolutely genius. Mm-hmm. Because when you think about what the point was and what
right.
the purpose was,
yes.
it was revolutionizing.
Yeah.
And where it's how it's become so unrevolutionizing.
Mm, yeah.
In fact, it's just become a revolution. Mm. You know, in
some of you who are listening to us remember that something, and it was a good thing. I don't want to be sarcastic. Well, I'm always sarcastic. I don't want to be critical and sarcastic more than normal. But, you know, there something came out from our denomination a few years ago called Deacon Family Ministry. And it was a way to try to get deacons to focus on deaconing as a verb rather than a noun.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you be a deacon to families? So they would divide up the families in the church, and each deacon would be assigned a certain number of families, and you were supposed to stay in touch with them throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And I had somebody tell me one time at our church, I said, well, you know, who's your deacon? I don't know. He said, he's kind of like my secret Santa. I hear about I get something from him once a year, but I don't know who he is.
Well, the sad part is I've been in my church now for over 30 years. I don't know who my deacon is.
There you go.
So I still don't, though.
I mean, that's it. Okay. So, Mark wrote a wonderful article. Mark wrote a wonderful article. We're putting the article in the show notes. So you can turn the podcast off now and just read this article. But the writer of the article is here in the flesh, Reverend Mark Halleck.
Hey.
And I love it. Here's the title of it. Joyful Sacrifice, How the Best Deacons Live and Lead.
Mm.
Here's some great information for you to help your deacons.
Mm-hmm.
Take this podcast and share it with your deacons.
Yes.
And let them hear it. All right? So,
absolutely.
Mark, go for it.
Okay. So, guys, really, just to set a foundation, we have to get the deacon office right in our churches. We really do. I mean, this is God's design. And it is genius and can help a church be healthy. One of the things we see in church revitalization circles is many times you have either, dare I say, the wrong folks in the deacon role,
mm-hmm.
or they're the right folks, they just don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And what we know is oftentimes in deacons we run to task and what they do. And what I'm trying to do in this is say, you know what, we really need to begin with the heart of the deacon.
Mm-hmm.
The heart of the deacon, which is to be marked by sacrifice. Sacrifice. And so what does a sacrificial deacon ministry look like? And so there's four characteristics we're going to talk about. Number one is this. Deacons understand the sacrifice of Christ to be the foundation of their own sacrifice. And so here we're just talking about this. You know, and this should be obvious. But a deacon is called to model Christ's likeness, which means their life has been transformed by that Christ. In other words, in some churches, deacon has become an office of power.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, in many.
In many
and
churches.
And also, in many churches, they're the ones that make sure the pastor doesn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
They keep check on the pastor. Unfortunately, in many times, they've evolved into a board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the church board, so to speak. And they're the ones that make the decisions. And maybe not even formally, but de facto they are.
Sure.
You may have a church council. Yeah. You may have. But de facto, we got to take it to the deacons.
Yeah.
Whenever you hear anybody say that, we have a decision to make. We need to take it to the deacons. I always wonder, why?
Right. Why the deacons?
Why the deacons?
Because
they're there to serve.
They're there to serve.
It's kind of an interesting thing. And I love what you say here about they have to understand my service is sacrificial because Christ sacrificed for me.
Amen.
Now, this is not a place of power
no,
and privilege.
No, that's right.
At all. Yeah. If you think of it as power and privilege, don't be a deacon.
That's right.
It's not power and privilege. In fact, Jesus, he put the towel around himself. Mm-hmm. He took the water pitcher, yeah, and he bent down and he washed everybody's feet, including Judas.
That's right.
I mean, it's not power and privilege, it's service.
In our church, we say this: deacons aren't the only servants, but they are the lead servants.
Mm.
And so if you're not leading in service, and I would say modeling that and equipping others to live a life of service, then you've missed a major calling as of your role as a deacon.
And it is a calling.
It's a calling. It's a calling that we take seriously in our churches, especially as Baptists. I'll never forget, and I've probably shared this before, we were working with a declining church, and they had this old building. And I mean, there had to be 50 Sunday school rooms in this building. And the new pastor was a replanting pastor coming in, a young guy. And I never forget sitting down with him, with his two deacons that were there and had been there forever. And one of the things that came up is that the pastor was only allowed in three rooms.
Mm.
He was only really? Allowed in three rooms. He wouldn't have the key. All the rooms are locked. Pastor didn't have a key. And I had never seen it. I thought it was a joke at first. And, you know, part of that was operating out of fear because they'd had some pastors, whatever, abuse power. But I'm like, this is a train wreck right from the beginning. Yeah. But my concern was, in these deacons, I didn't see a heart marked by this kind of sacrificial, humble sacrifice.
Right. So number two was sacrificial service. But going back to number one on this, they understand the sacrifice of Christ. Which means, another way of saying that is, They live in the moment of the gospel.
Yeah.
They understand that the gospel is not their entrance to salvation.
Yes.
It's how they live right
now.
That's
right.
That every day I wake up and realize it's not what I've done for Jesus that matters.
Yes.
It's what Jesus is doing for me that matters.
Amen.
Having that mindset.
That's right.
Because sometimes as deacons, they get a little entitled because we work hard. Yep. We have a lot of responsibility. Yep. We carry a lot of weight. I do a lot for this church.
Yep.
I've done a lot for this church for 40 years. You got to keep in your mind, none of that matters.
Yeah.
Everything you do for this church, none of it will buy you 1 minute outside of hell.
Yeah.
You owe everything
to
the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross. That puts you in the right mindset.
Yes.
Then it takes you, as you pointed out in our second point here, is that a deacon then gets to the point where he understands the cost of sacrificial service. In other words, there's no such thing as sacrificial service without a cost.
You know, I brought in, we were getting ready to ordain our first guys at Warnell years ago when we started. And these are all young men with families and careers and jobs. And I believe it was Richard Blackaby or Don Whitney, one of the two. I can't remember off the top of my head. I had one of those two guys come and be part. It was Don Whitney. Be part of the ordination service for these guys. And before that, we were there the whole weekend. He came the whole weekend. And I remember we had a breakfast on a Saturday morning. And one of these guys, one of these young men was very honest. He said, you know, it's a real struggle. He said, you know, I got a young wife. I got a young family. I'm just starting my career. There's a lot of demands on my time.
Yeah.
So being in this role, it's going to mean a lot of extra time, even away from my family. What do I do about that? And I remember Don Whitney said, you do it. Mm. That's what deacons do. That's what elders do. There's a sacrifice involved, and not just you, but a sacrifice perhaps to your career, and even to some degree, to the time you might spend with your family. Now you don't ignore your family. That's a whole other topic for another day. But you have to realize there's a sacrifice to be a leader.
That's right. We would say, be very careful not to put deacons in that role too quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a temptation.
Yeah.
There's a temptation. Well, man, we got to get some deacons. You get the wrong deacons.
Oh, yeah.
And specifically here, who haven't counted the cost.
Yeah.
And you've got a mess on your hands.
And haven't shared that cost with their family.
That's right. That their wife's not on board. And this is also why, as Baptists, we believe we're congregationalists. We believe in the congregation affirming this man in this role. That's a big deal. You know, so that others say, I'm concerned. I know there's stuff in their marriage that's not healthy. Mm-hmm. I want to know that, before we put this guy in this position.
Right.
And so all of that to say, the sacrifice involved, we have to help. You're not leading them well if you're not helping them really count both the cost and the joy of serving as a deacon.
It is a sacrifice.
There's a sacrifice involved.
Good word. Number three.
Number three is deacons strive to first lead sacrificially at home, which is going back to what you just said.
Yeah, it begins with the deacon's spouse and kids. This is a priority, must be kept at the forefront of all the deacons does. If the deacons are set an example for what it means to look like and live sacrificially in the congregation, he also has to do that for his own home.
That's right.
So how does he? What's that look like, Mark?
That's right. That's right. And there's a reason Paul lays out qualifications. I mean, you know, for the deacon and his marriage and all those things. So what I would say is this: listen, if you aren't first, and none of us are perfect, we are all in need of the grace of Jesus all the time. But if your wife and your kids look at you and say, man, my dad is anything but sacrificial.
Wow.
If my dad, if I'm just being honest, is not, he's not a servant around our home, then you have no business being elevated as a deacon in the Church of Jesus Christ.
Wow, that's powerful.
And I think, sadly, and I'm sure we could all say, I've come across deacons who are not servants in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, that's where, again, instead of being a servant deacon in the church, it's a position of power now, in the same way that sadly it reflects the power that they exude in their home in the same way. So this is where, again, the home, and this is true for pastors, if you aren't shepherding your home, you have no business shepherding the people of God.
And when you say sacrificing at home, I think one of the ways that would work out is to wake up every day and not think, how can my wife make my life easier?
Yeah.
But wake up every day and say, how can I bless my wife
and
my kids today?
That's right.
What can I do today? Is there something I can do specifically for her?
Uh-huh.
Can I get home before work, before she does, and can I unload the dishwasher?
Can I
maybe fold the laundry tonight?
Yep.
You know, can I offer, is there something I can do for her?
Yes.
Is there something I can do for my kids? Is there something I can go out of, is there a way I can, and if you don't have that heart and that attitude at home, I agree.
Yeah.
And your kids see that you don't
do any of that at home.
But boy, you do it at church.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have some problem with your kids who see that double standard big time.
And part of that is just love your wife and your kids, man.
Yeah.
Love them. Spend time with them. Hang out with them. Look for ways. This is a joy to encourage and serve your kids.
And look, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church.
Yeah.
Whether they're in a good mood or not.
Yeah, that's right.
When.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's the way it is.
Yeah. It is the way it is.
Yeah.
And so when they're in a good mood or when they're not, or when they are extremely affectionate to you, or when they're a season of just being upset about something else, you are consistently loving them as Christ loved the church because he consistently loves us.
That's right.
And if your kids see you consistently love your spouse, even maybe at times when she, I don't only pick on wives, but let's just say, maybe your kids as they grow, that they see that some stuff going on and that maybe your spouse, your wife, you know, she kind of snaps back at you for something.
Yeah.
If they see you graciously accept that and embrace and absorb that and love her anyway, man, what a testimony about how Christ loves us.
Yep.
Okay.
And you are teaching them, you're teaching your, especially your sons, you're teaching your sons to do that,
exactly.
to be that way.
Exactly.
Well, one of the coolest things that I think, and we could probably all point to this, but I try to encourage in our church, our deacons, is to include their children in their deacon ministry. I mean, there is nothing greater. So, for instance, we'll have taken the offering on Sundays. So we have deacons of the week who help. And so they'll get their sons, their little guys, and they're passing the plate, and our church see this intergenerational vision. You've got to go visit a widow. Take your kids.
Yeah.
Take them with them. Explain what you're doing and why Margaret, she's an important part of our family, and we're going to go pray for her. And I mean, those are things that my kids would tell you were profound. Mm-hmm. They were invited into those environments. And so lean into it. And you can model for them. You teach them. Because listen, they're the next generation, man.
They're
the next generation of deacons in this church.
So four characteristics of a sacrificial deacon. He understands the sacrifice of Christ is his foundation for service. Number two, he understands the cost of living out that sacrificial service, and he does it willingly. Number three, he leads sacrificially at home. And number four.
Yes. Deacons understand their sacrifice to be a source of joy.
Now, that's countercultural.
That's a countercultural idea.
Because we think sacrifice means I'm losing
something. That's right. That's right. Serving is... what's the joy in serving somebody else, right?
Mm-hmm. The joy is me being served.
The joy is me being served. And this is how the kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. And Jesus says, no, you've got, when I saved you, I gave you a new heart with new appetites and new affections and a new way to see the world. And so you're actually robbing yourself, Christian, of joy when you're not serving. And to me, it's an indicator of the heart, again, of a deacon, is do they see this as a joy? And I'm so thankful, man. I'm seeing faces of men in our church and the love that they have for our people. It's contagious. It spreads throughout the church if you set the tone.
And, you know, if deacons and leaders, if they will show a life of sacrificial service, and again, I can't emphasize this enough, it doesn't begin with self-motivation or self-discipline, or it begins with understanding the sacrifice Christ made for you. That's where it begins,
yes,
right?
Yes, at the gospel. That's right.
So
always.
If you preach the gospel to yourself every day.
Yep.
Why am I a gracious husband? Because Jesus is gracious to
Amen.
Me.
Amen. That's
right?
It.
He forgives me. He's never turns his back on me. So I'm never going to turn my back on my wife because I'm going to love Christ. Like I'm going to love my wife the way Christ loves his church.
Yes.
So that's the foundation
yep,
for that.
That's right. That's
but,
right.
But at the same time, when you talk about sacrificial, mm-hmm. at that point, when people see you truly sacrificing, they want to follow you.
Yes.
They want to be
yes.
with you.
That's right.
You don't
Good
have,
point.
You don't have to earn. You don't have to convince them.
No,
man, they'll go anywhere with you. Man, I've seen him sacrifice. I've seen him give things up. I've seen him, and they will follow that leadership.
You become the kind of leader that, you know, I would say the people want to follow. They don't just have to follow.
Exactly,
they want to follow.
They do, and becomes a great model. And then it helps everyone see that we live as believers the way in a sacrificial way. We give to one another.
Yes.
We care for one another. We
yes.
don't care first on ourselves. That's
yes.
the way the world lives.
That's right.
And it doesn't lead us anywhere.
Amen. Let me read this real quick. I think this kind of summarizes things pretty well. In many cases, deacons have the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus as he cares for his sheep through them. You see, the deacon who sees sacrifice as fuel for deeper joy in the Lord shows the watching world just how amazing and satisfying Christ truly is.
Yeah.
They show the great delight that comes in serving the Lord and giving him all the glory for all he has done and continues to do.
Mm.
This is the kind of deacon God desires to serve his people. Deacons marked by joyful, sacrificial love that points others to the greatness of our God.
And so when you're selecting deacons in your church, you don't just look for the guy who's there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and who never misses anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a deacon qualification, the fact that he's always there for everything,
right?
A deacon qualification is a sacrificial heart, a sacrificial life. And I think sometimes we've sort of chosen deacons because they're faithful.
That's right.
And we mean faithful in that they show up.
Yeah, they're available.
They're available.
Which is great.
Which is great, but that's not enough.
No, that's right. That's right.
That's not enough. Yep. All right, good word.
We have often talked about the passage, Count It All Joy, you know, when you suffer.
Yep.
And I remember a deacon who one time really exemplified that to me. He counted it joy because of the sacrifice. And I said, how do you consider that joy? How can you count that as joy? He said, because I'm not focused on the sacrifice.
Mm.
You know, he said, I'm focused on the results of what it does. And I think that was the key to his ministry.
Mm.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to what we think is important. and we like to share these things with you. And we hope they are a blessing to you. And follow this what we've been talking here. We've just basically scratched the surface on deaconship and how to help your deacons to live and lead. And if your deacons aren't with you, man, you got some issues there.
You do. But if they are with you, it's one of the sweetest places it can possibly
Amen.
Be.
It's
Amen.
Glorious.
That's
There's
right.
no other way to explain
All
it.
All right. Good
All
enough.
Right. Thank you to North American Mission Board for sponsoring us and making this possible. We appreciate that so much. Thanks to a Midwestern Seminary for giving us this room to use here in Spurgeon Library. By the way, when we got here this morning, getting ready for, they were having a class.
I know.
That was in, it was kind of cool to see them sitting around. And now there's another class sitting in there.
I wanted to just sneak in there. It was Jeff Chang.
Yeah, it looked like some really smart people
I know.
In there.
We didn't belong
there.
We didn't belong in there. It was intimidating.
So totally intimidating.
I know. Somebody with a 2.6 grade point average doesn't belong in that crowd, I'm telling you.
And the other thing, too, is they're sitting there, you know, they're all buttoned down and you know they're all just you know they're GQ dressed. You know, we walk in jeans,
that's right.
You know,
with our cookies from Wendy's.
Hey, thanks for listening. Please, please subscribe if you listen to a platform where you can do that. That helps us get the word out about Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.